Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. So this is an old, old song that it touches me. When you think of an older couple having loved each other for years and years and years and years, and then somebody's got to leave first. And this is what this song was about. It goes like this. I believe my steps are growing wearier each day. Yet I've got a journey on my mind. Lures of this old world have ceased to make me want to stay. And my one regret is leaving you behind. If it proves to be his will that I am first to go, and somehow I've a feeling it will be. When it's your turn to travel, well, don't you feel lost. I will be the first one that you'll see. I'll be standing on the far side, bank of Jordan. I'll be waiting, drawing pictures in the sand. And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout and come running through the shallow water, reaching for your hand. Through this life we've labored hard to earn our meager fare. It brought us trembling hands and failing eyes. So I'll just rest here on the shore and turn my eyes away. Until you come, then we'll see paradise. I'll be standing on the far side, bank of Jordan. I'll be waiting, drawing pictures in the sand. And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout and come running through the shallow water, reaching for your hand. Running through the shallow water, reaching for your hand. Great old song, you guys. I just like that one. Spending time with my brothers is just so special anymore. All these years and this life and the friendship is just a beautiful song. So this is a song I haven't played in years, but we share the same last name and the same color eyes. We fought like tigers over that old red bike. I'm batting first, no, you can't use my glove. Wouldn't take long until push came to shove. We looked out for each other with brotherly love. You hated girls till I had my first date. I brought her home from the movies and you stayed up late. Three on a couch watching TV. I was smiling at her while you were laughing at me. But I wouldn't trade it for nothing, brotherly love. There's a bond that brothers know, and it gets stronger as they grow. A the time, and miles can't come between. We've disagreed, but in the end, there never were two closer friends. Brotherly love is something we all need. Life's marched on and we're half a world apart. You've got your wife and the children, and I've got my sweetheart. Don't talk much, but boy, when we do, we spend that time on me and you. And all our years together, brotherly love. There's a bond that brothers know, and it gets stronger as they grow. A love that time and miles can't come between. We've disagreed, but in the end, there never brotherly love is something we all need. We share the same last name and the same color eyes. And we share something special, brotherly love. Brotherly love. Yeah, they're good boys. Thanks. So while I'm here, I'm gonna play one more. Sue Hubbard told me this was the favorite song that I played, and I miss Sue this week. I thought that number one would always be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, I've learned to stand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I think I'll make Jesus my all in all. When I'm in trouble, on his name I'll call. If I don't trust in him, I'd be less than a man. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high, the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, I've learned to stand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding. from my hand.
Thanks. We are in the book of Acts, chapter 4. Fifth book of the New Testament. The book of Acts, chapter 4. The book of Acts. The Acts of the Apostles. Let's pray together before we read the scripture, shall we? Lord Jesus, here we are. We're your people. This is your book. I ask you, Lord, would you speak to us? I don't know what's going on with anyone here, but you do. Take your word. Make it live to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus has been raised from the dead, and Jesus' disciples, his friends, have been going around telling people about it. Peter and John entered the temple, go up to pray. In the beginning of chapter 3, there's a guy at the gate begging money. Peter said, I don't have any money, but what I have, I'll give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. Now, Peter doesn't even know why he said that. That just happened to Peter. This guy jumped up. He'd been paralyzed his whole life, unable to walk. Now he's jumping up and down, screaming, praising God. Just, it's one of those moments, you know. So then the whole crowd rushes to them, and then Peter tells them about Jesus, that he had died for their sins and been resurrected from the dead. Chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees, those were all the rulers in Israel, they came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. And they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they seized Peter and John. Because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. That's cool. The number of men, that's just family heads, right? Men grew to about 5,000. Man. The next day, the rulers and elders and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Ananias, the high priest, was there. So was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. Do you notice the Bible is a historical document? This stuff isn't being made up. They're telling you historically at the moment the individuals who were there in the meeting. That's just cool, so cool about the Bible. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, by the way, this is a special statement for filled with the Holy Spirit. We're told to be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, this is one of those special moments when you need him really quick, and all of a sudden, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's an instantaneous thing that happened to Peter. Nothing he planned out, it just happened to Peter. He said to them, rulers and elders of the people, wait a minute, this is the guy that ran away from a servant girl and said he didn't even know who Jesus was and cussed everybody out a few days before. Man, something happened, people. You rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called into account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, know this. You and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. This man stands before you healed. He is, speaking of Jesus, the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Oh, all those guys in the room knew that verse from the Torah. They were angry. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given to men by which we must be saved. And when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, that's the ruling council, and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men, they asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they've done an astounding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them to not speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Man, this is an incredible moment in history. You know, every time somebody comes to Jesus and they put their faith in Christ, one of their first questions that come out of their mouth is, what's God's will for my life?
It's really something, because in all reality, there's a lot of callings that all of us have, several callings. First of all, there is, of course, the specific, the primary calling of our lives, according to the Shorter Catechism, is to love God and to enjoy Him forever. That's our number one calling, is to love God and enjoy Him. But there are other callings, like a vocational calling. What am I going to do for a J-O-B, right? What am I going to do for a profession? What am I going to do to take care of my family? There are familial callings to families. I mean, who am I going to marry? But there's a general calling for all Christians. Jesus told them just before He left earth, He said to His people in general, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. That's a calling that every one of us has. But there's a problem. You need boldness to do this and to do it properly. I can't say I always do it well or right. But we need boldness. And what we've been taught to be are little Christian boy and girl weenies who are afraid of having an opinion. Someone might get upset if we say something. Oh, don't stir. You know, and the culture is trying to beat us into a corner so we won't say anything. They don't want to get any of that Jesus on them. You know, that kind of thing. And so we're told that we need to be telling the truth in love. Now, we very seldom get those two together. Usually when we are bold, it's anger. Have you read Facebook? I've got cousins. They're a lot of fun, but they are being banned from Facebook because they are angry people, and they say some really bad stuff on Facebook. You know, it seems like the only time we actually get bold is when we are motivated by anger. That is not Christian boldness. I used to work with an old preacher. I spent 18 months in purgatory working with this preacher. He used to say, I'm saying this with all the love I can muster. That means he doesn't have any, and he's just angry, and here we go, okay? Let's persecute the saints. Let's beat them up. Let's yell at everybody. That is not boldness. That is not the Holy Spirit. Human anger doesn't work the works of God, I'm telling you. And the problem is we don't know what boldness is. Boldness is this. It's this simple. When you love God, when you've come to Christ, He's going to make you love people. And when you love God and you love people, you're going to be dangerous because you're going to love them more than you're wanting to be safe and liked. And you're going to tell them the truth in love because you care about them. You know, I don't do this very well. A friend of mine, I embarrassed myself this week. A young friend of mine wrote a post on Facebook that she wanted to go to the Bermuda Triangle so she could effing disappear. And I totally blew it. You know what I wrote? What a pompous jerk I am. I wrote, you know, that's a very powerful statement if you leave off the second to the last word. What an idiot. I didn't even ask her why she wanted to disappear. What's the matter with me? What's the matter with us? We're the word police now? You know, words are just words. People are using them, strong words, to express deep emotion because they have deep need. But oh no, oh, the pastor. He had to show up and try to fix her language. I messaged her to apologize and asked her why she wanted to disappear. Hope she writes me back. Yeah, we don't know what boldness is. But if we love God and we love people, we're going to get to be dangerous. And these guys were dangerous. I love this story. What I love about it is the believers had zero power in this world. Nothing. Everybody else controlled the political end of it, the financial end of it, the social end of it. They controlled all of it, and they had no control over these people. I want to tell you four simple things. The first one is this. I want you to look at the surprise of boldness here. What happened was, is that in chapter 4, verse 13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled and ordinary men, aren't you glad God uses just us normal people? I am so glad to see that. They're unschooled and ordinary men. They were astonished. Where are they getting this? How dare they? Do they not know that we run it? How dare you go against the grain? They were astonished. You know, most people today, they have us figured out. They know that if you push Christians, they're going to react a certain way. Wouldn't it be interesting if we actually had Holy Ghost boldness to where we would love them so much we wouldn't get offended and that we would simply love them and still tell them the truth, they wouldn't know what to do with us. But they've got us figured out. I mean, Larry King knows how to get Christians on his show and needle them until he gets the response that he wants. What happens if we, by the power of God in our lives, in our families, didn't respond the old way anymore? Wouldn't that be something? But if we love Jesus, we won't be able to hold it in. And you're going to find yourself in situations where you're going to surprise people that you're bold. Just love them. You know, I'm very glad that the president is fighting for religious freedom. It's a very good thing. It's a big part in our culture. Very important. But I want to tell you something. I mean, we're all going to work for religious freedom because it's very important. But I want you to know something. Instead of fighting for religious freedom, wouldn't it be really good if we used our religious freedom and actually loved people enough to tell them about Jesus? Isn't that something? I got to tell you, you're going to love this or hate this. I got a friend of mine, Michael Dunbar, and Michael, I learned chair making from him, and I also took a seminar from him on redoing an old house he has in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And you think, well, he's a craftsman. Yeah, he's a craftsman, but he had an idea back in the 80s that he wanted to draft Donald Trump to run for president. And he brought Donald Trump, and Donald Trump flew in to Portsmouth, New Hampshire, landed on the Village Green in his helicopter to do a speech. So you're either going to love him or hate him. It depends on what side of the aisle you're on. But Mike, invited him in. And so I'm glad that the president's fighting for this stuff. I'm glad. Instead of fighting for that, why don't we use it, guys? You understand, the founding fathers gave us religious freedom because they realized that it was very important for a society, instead of having a state religion, to allow different religious thought to be free in the culture so the ones that are true and work and are real survive. That's a good thing. That's brilliant, actually. And so, they were surprised at their boldness, though. Man, they were astonished is the word. Man! Well, look at the surprise of boldness. Here's another one, though. Look at the source of boldness. It said here, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled and ordinary men, they were astonished. And get this, they took note that these men had been with Jesus. There was one reason why they were bold. Because it was real. Because they had been with him. Let me tell you what. God isn't so much calling you to do stuff. God's calling you to be with him. It is so important that we see that. Jesus called 12 apostles, 12 people, 12 men that he was going to spend time with and teach, right? He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Did you get the first thing, though? To be with him. Now listen, if you want to have the source for boldness, you're not going to find it in some motivation book. You're not going to find it in somebody's sermon. You are going to find it in your own personal time with Jesus. He has called you to be with him. If you be with him, you will do for him. You know what I mean? It's true. If you be, you will do. We're called to do it. It's the source of boldness. Once you've been loved by him, you just can't help it. Debbie's mom, Barb, and her sister, Terry, rescued a little dog named Sissy. You know, when Barb died, Debbie and I ended up with Sissy. I had a dog named Sissy. That doesn't sound very macho. Come here, Sissy. It just doesn't sound right. So then we had Sissy, and Sissy's gone. And then Debbie's sister, Terry, God bless her, died of leukemia a few years ago. And she gave us her puppy, Precious. Some people don't want me to have any testosterone at all, okay? Precious. I mean, it just doesn't sound right. So anyhow, Sissy, though, when we got her, when Mom got her, she had been in a house with 50 other dogs, a bunch of breeding stock, abused, neglected, all that. So Mom got her, Mom loved her. But when you came in her house, she would sit right under my mother-in-law's chair and watch you. She's a Yorkshire Terrier, a little one. Anyhow, she'd watch you. You get too close, she's out there trying to bite your ankles. Where does this dog get this boldness? You know, if she thinks she's a German Shepherd. I can remember when we ended up having Sissy, Little Tommy came over one day, and he's sitting next to me. We're talking on the porch, and Sissy ran up and was bumping his ankles, and he goes, "Is she trying to bite me?" You want to know where that little dog got the boldness? She had been loved by Barbara Jean. That's how. Once you've been loved by Jesus, there's this natural boldness that God is going to give you. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to plan it all out. You don't have to take some big presentation series on how to tell people about Jesus. You need to be yourself. And when you have opportunity, tell people. You'll have that boldness. It's the source of boldness is Jesus. It sure isn't us. I had one of the most wonderful committal services yesterday in All Saints Cemetery. And it had nothing to do with me. I'll tell you why. I hadn't seen it on my calendar. We were out of town when my friend called me to say he was going to inter his wife's ashes. I wrote it in my planner. I put it in my phone. Did I check them yesterday morning? No. I was out walking Sissy the Wonder Dog. We hung out. You know, we went a few places. We just, you know, we were out doing our thing. It was 10 after 11. I opened my phone and it said, "You got 50 minutes to be at the committal service." I'm north of Clarkston. I had on these old dirty shorts and a dirty t-shirt I'd been sanding a door in the day before. I mean, I ran home, took the fastest shower in the universe. I was out that door. I'm there 15 minutes early holding my Bible waiting for these people. It was an amazing moment. On the outside, I looked great. Inside, my heart was going, because I almost totally blew it. And then, for this 10 minutes, 12 minutes, we stood at this grave. Jesus showed up, man. I mean, we were all crying. Even the funeral people, the cemetery, the grave diggers were crying. I mean, God showed up. It wasn't anything special I was saying other than the truth, the promise we have in Christ. Everybody was crying. Whew. And then the wind hit me. Not the wind of the Holy Spirit, the northwest wind. And I felt the wind that the seat of my pants had been torn out. Thank God I had a sport coat on. I'm like, this whole thing. Oh, yeah. You think we got anything to do with this? We got nothing to do with this. But the source is Him. I mean, they're going to be surprised by it, but it's because the source is Him. To me, that's really great. The surprise, the source. And then there's the stuff of boldness. Where do we get this? I mean, we get it from Jesus. But let's get more specific. The stuff of boldness is this. They took him aside, threatened him in verse 18. They called him and commanded they couldn't speak in the name of Jesus anymore. Peter and John replied, get this. Judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard when it's real. Truth. When it's true. Not the idea of everybody has their own truth. It can be true for you and not true for me. Excuse me. There is black and white. There is true and untrue. There is truth. There is a lie. Religiously, man, they're everywhere. And when you find the truth that some little rabbi died spread eagle on crossbeams over a town garbage heap for our sin, and 3 days later walked out of that grave where he had been stone cold dead, and he was alive forevermore, and they had touched him and talked to him and watched him eat and literally been freaked out over it. I'm telling you, when you see truth, you can't unsee that. The stuff of boldness, the stuff of boldness is truth. It's real. Let me tell you, there is an alarming thing going on among Christians. When they are disagreed with, they change what they believe because they don't want to offend anybody. Let me tell you, my friend, years ago, his son had left the pastorate and wife and 3 children because he had changed his sexual orientation. He had decided that wasn't him. And so my friend changed what he believed to try to make it okay for his son. And my friend became the weirdest dude. He just went sideways in so many directions of his life. Let me tell you something. Jesus said, Anyone who loves their father or mother or son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Is this true? It is true. And is some of that truth uncomfortable? Yeah. But, I mean, we're not going to shame anybody for their struggles. We all struggle. We're not going to shame anybody for being a sinner. We're all sinners. Our sin's just different. That's all. So that's not the issue. But we have to stand where God stands. What good are we if we just morph? Okay, you just can't morph. You got to stand where he stands, right?
Well, that got quiet in here, didn't it? Woo. That was not popular. Move along, Hampton, will you? Okay, I will.
I remember when I became a Christian, how uncomfortable it was with my mom and dad. Not so much my mom, but my dad. Oh, he was ticked. Because he had grown up in what he called that stuff. And he had rejected it. And so Debbie and I, we just loved them, tried to do stuff over the years. Guess what? They all came to believe. Ha! Yeah. Just keep following Jesus and loving him, guys. People will try to pressure you into changing, but it's true. And once you find the truth, it is the, I'm telling you, it's the stuff of boldness. Debbie and I are always watching our weight, you know. We love Mexican food. But, you know, I can eat 14 baskets of deep-fried corn chips. You hungry yet? With a lot of salsa and all that. I love that stuff. So now we're trying not to eat all those carbs. Debbie found these baked tortilla chips. Oh, baby, they're good. Oh, we love them. You got to count them out. Got to stay within your range and all that stuff. But we're eating Mexican again. It's a great thing. So Debbie says, oh, we're going to do fajitas. Can you go down to Kroger and buy some of those chips? I go there. It's wiped out. Everything is full except where these baked chips go. It's empty. So I said to the person that worked there, what happened? And he goes, oh, man, all these fat old ladies came in and just hauled them all out of here. I said, what? Yeah, man, all these women, they come in and they're taking their butt. I said, really? So then I go down to Newmyer's and they're empty. And I have to accost the Lay's potato chip guy. Hey, any more of those baked chips? He goes, man, what is up with that? They're like knocking me down to get these. So I said, okay, do you have any? He goes, yeah, I got one box. I said, I'll buy the whole box, the last. I buy the whole box, I take it home. So I called Debbie from the store. I said, honey, when you were at your Weight Watchers meeting this week, did you mention those chips? She says, yeah, I did. I said, quit telling our secrets. These old ladies are wiping us out. We can't. But when something works, right? So we're eating on the patio at Mr. B's in Clarkston. We're eating outside there. Fajitas again. And Debbie said, oh, I didn't bring any chips. I said, you want me to run over to Kroger? I'll see if they have some. So they were just ordering. So I jumped in the car and went around the corner. I go in, empty. And here's this lady with 8 bags in her cart. I said, ma'am, do you go to Weight Watchers? Yes. I said, did a lady at Weight Watchers tell you about those chips? Yes. I said, her name is Debbie. She's my wife. We're eating at the restaurant over here. I need a bag of those chips. Okay. And she gave them to me. We went up. The battle of the chips. Hey, we got to go. Anyhow, so what I'm saying is this. They're I'm not telling. You turkeys will be all over it. I don't want to. I'm going to have some Belay's man drop a box off every week at my house before he goes to the store. I got to work something out. Anyhow, so but do you see what I mean? The source of our boldness is Jesus. But the stuff of that boldness is the truth. He is alive. He loves us. He gave his life for us and is resurrected from the dead. And it doesn't matter how messed up we are. He will love us and accept us. That is true. That is right. And all the world needs to hear that. All they have is religious people looking down their noses at them. Man, they need Jesus. Okay, and then there's one other thing. So they were threatened, right? When they were threatened by the Jewish leaders, they went back to their folks. And they reported everything to them about what had happened. And they lift their voices to the Lord as a group. They just talk to the Lord. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices together in prayer, and they just prayed about their situation. But when it was done, they did this. They said this: "Now, Lord, consider their threats," and this is verse 29. We didn't read this yet. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and," get this word, "enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And after they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, we talked about, you know, the surprise of it. We talked about the source of boldness. We talked about the stuff of boldness. One more S and we'll go. The sustaining of our boldness. Jesus promised, when he spoke to his disciples just before he left, he said, and I quote, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you until the end of the age." Now, when you start thinking about your future, I want you to know he will never leave you, and he will always be there for you to ask for boldness. To sustain it, you can't sustain it. He said, they said, "Lord, enable us." Do you see that? He'll do that for you too. I know that all of our lives are unique and different. I was talking to a young major in the Salvation Army this week. He had contacted me through the website. He is just outside of Zurich, Switzerland. He loved me for two reasons. Number one, he saw me play a Gibson guitar on a video. "I love Gibson guitar," he said. And second of all, he had read all of Roger Campbell's books. And he said in his preaching ministry over the years, Roger's books preach for a year, where Roger is the outline king. I mean, he just could outline any. He could outline his underwear drawer. This guy was amazing. Roger was really just tremendously, tremendously gifted. Well, then I told him, there's a new book out. And he said, what is it called? I said, it's called Wherever You Go, There's a Zacchaeus Up a Tree. It's some of Roger's best stuff. Send me your address. I'll send you the book. I sent it off to him this week. Roger has a CD called Adventures in Sharing My Faith. That guy has affected so many people. He's in heaven. He being dead yet speaketh. You know what I mean? It still just goes on. And your life will have that same effect on so many others. Listen, you don't have to be afraid. God can give you boldness if you let him give it to you. And then you can live the adventure. Guys, they're everywhere. We don't know the details. God has the details, and he puts us together with the right people. This is a great opportunity. Don't blow it. Don't waste it. Don't be a weenie. Let God make you bold. Let's stand together to pray. Yes, he said weenie in church. Come on, stand up. Get past it. Let's pray together, okay? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you did for the folks back then. And I thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that you will give this same boldness. Lord, you know, a lot of us, we're involved in business. There's so many people from all walks of life and every idea and every, you know, twisted idea out there that come across our path. And we thank you that you always make us appropriate. We're not going to be bold in anger. We're going to be bold in love. Help us to see through people's stuff. Prompt us and help us to show them love and tell them about you when we get a chance. And thank you that you haven't called us to be the church lady. You've called us to be your people in this world. Help us, Lord. Thank you for our time together. Bless everybody, every family represented as we go off into our week today. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Stay away from my chips. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.